Well, this was the first year we had a town Christmas tree at the end of the road. All thanks to Argus Winslow, who donated some land downtown. But everybody agrees Argus probably did it just to cause trouble, and he couldn't have been more successful. You see, his only condition on the donation was that the land be made into a park. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. You have to understand here that Argus Winslow is an accomplished rabble-rouser, and although everybody was charmed and grateful for the donation, they wondered at the same time what he was up to. Well, it wouldn't take too long to find out. First of all, as everyone soon realized, if you're going to have a city park, it has to have a name. The city council quickly appointed a parks committee to tackle this chore. After Ruby McClay, owner-operator of Ruby's Video Roundup, and Sissy Tuttle of the Organization of Fishermen's Wives had tussled with their choices, and Emily Flanagan and Pastor Frank had a little brush fire disagreement, Mayor Weekly finally pounded his coffee mug on the table to get everyone's attention and addressed the committee in his usual conciliatory tones. "Ladies and Frank, I've given this matter a lot of thought," he lied. "And my opinion is that no matter what we name this darn thing, that everybody's just going to call it the park. My recommendation is that we name it appropriately. I leave a motion on the floor that we name the new city park the park." Eventually, good sense prevailed, and Emily Flanagan seconded the motion. Argus Winslow loved being a fly in the ointment, and he would have been thoroughly entertained by all the trouble he was causing with his donation. But he had something else on his mind. There were other mischievous forces in motion around the end of the road, forces directed toward him and in the hands of one Bud Koenig, Argus's nemesis, arch-rival, and best friend. These two old-timers were constantly tormenting each other in any number of small ways, and over the years some of them have become traditional, as is the case of Bud Koenig's annual Christmas prank. Every year on Christmas Eve, Bud would come up with a practical joke of one awful sort or another that Argus was made to suffer. Argus expects these pranks and watches for them, but has never been able to avoid one. Bud always outsmarts him in the end. Well, this year, Argus was paying particularly close attention. He'd heard that Bud was quietly collecting cardboard refrigerator boxes over the last few weeks. Well, this made no sense to anyone, including Argus, but one thing he did know was that it had something to do with him. It kept him alert and occupied, so much so that he couldn't fully appreciate Chapter 2 in the saga of his city park, which was, what was the city going to do with it? Mayor Weekly had quickly pointed out that it was too late in the year to do very much at all, and suggested, hopefully, that they table the entire matter until spring. That's when Emily Flanagan, in a last-ditch effort to save the Parks Committee, glommed onto the idea of a town Christmas tree. "Oh, no," thought the mayor, dreading the debate that was already ensuing. Pastor Frank stood up. "Why, I think that the idea of a community Christmas tree is a grand one, and being as it is in celebration of the birth of our Savior, the First and Last Baptist Church will take the decorating responsibilities." "Hold on there, Reverend," Ruby McClay poked in. "This tree's in the Central Business District, and the presentation should be the responsibility of the Chamber of Commerce." Emily Flanagan would have none of this. "Christmas is for the kids. The schools should get together and let the students decorate." "Oh, they'll just make a mess of it," Sissy Tuttle said impatiently. "The fishermen's wives will take care of the tree, because there's so many of us, and we never get to do anything." The mayor waited patiently until the debate reached its expected four-way tie. Everyone got quiet and looked to him for a solution. "All right, all right. The city will provide the tree because it seems like the right thing to do. But whoever you decide decorates it has to come up with the money for the electrical service, which is out of my control. Have at her. This meeting is adjourned. Now that there was money involved, the debate took an interesting turn after the mayor went home. Emily Flanagan now thought that Pastor Frank's church probably was the most appropriate choice for decorating. Ruby in the Chamber of Commerce thought that the fishermen's wives should get the honors because they do seldom get involved in community projects. Pastor Frank apologized for being so hasty earlier and agreed that it was indeed a children's holiday and that Emily's PTA should do the honors. And on through the December night, they continued to nicely recommend one another, while the man behind it all, Argus Winslow, was trying to guess how 6 cardboard refrigerator boxes were going to figure into his Christmas Eve. He'd cruised Bud Koenig's place and verified the reports that there were a pile of boxes there. He'll probably fill them full of any old rotten thing he can find and send them to me one at a time, like the 12 days of Christmas. Nah, he did that 8 years ago. Argus just couldn't get it figured, but he drove around endlessly puzzling on it. Every time he drove by the park, it seemed there was something different happening. He saw the tree go up on Wednesday. On Thursday morning, Pastor Frank and his flock were moping around, sizing up the tree and kicking dirt clods. By Friday afternoon, everybody was there, and Argus took more than a little satisfaction from the fact that they were all squared off to each other, bickering about something. Just like throwing a raw steak to a pack of dogs. I knew they'd never be able to agree on that part. 2 days until Christmas, and all they've managed to do is murder a tree and drag it over there. Argus grinned like the devil and guided his old pickup truck out the road to his junkyard retreat. Argus put his dog Barney out for the night to watch for any shenanigans Bud might be up to, and slept a fitful sleep laced with dreams of large boxes. In the morning, he turned on the radio and fried him up some breakfast. The local news was the usual fare: trucks in ditches, a chimney fire, and a fistfight. Then, right at the end, the announcer heralded a special event that made Argus sit up and take notice. "And don't forget that everyone is invited to the first annual lighting of the town Christmas tree at the park tonight at sundown." "This I'll have to see," Argus said, forgetting for the moment his fear of cardboard. Down at the park, there was a flurry of activity around the tree. Kids in snowsuits were sitting on tailgates stringing popcorn. Sissy Tuttle and friends were braiding lengths of garland while Pastor Frank and flock struggled with a life-size plastic nativity scene. Ruby McClay was riding the bucket of a boom truck, barking orders and stringing electric lights, while Mayor Weekly and Bud Koenig worked out the final connections to the electrical box nailed to the tree trunk. "Mighty kind of you to pay for the electrical service, Bud," the mayor said. Bud took a short look out to the road and said, "I had my reasons, Richard." Just as the sky dimmed that evening, Argus loaded Barney in the cab and headed cautiously toward town. About 2 miles out, he said, "Barney, this has really got me buffaloed." And no sooner had he got the words out of his mouth when he saw it. Right in the middle of the road, where it couldn't be driven around, was a large cardboard refrigerator box flashing in his headlights. Argus's heart was pounding as he got out to look it over. He stared into the bushes on all sides, looking for ambush. He kicked at the box with one foot and covered his face. Finally, he pulled back a flap to peer inside. "Empty," he said, and kicked the box down into the ditch. Continuing into town, Argus was really stumped. Putting a box in the road is not a Koenig-caliber prank, but maybe, he thought, the old fool was slipping. But just as he had this thought, another box revealed itself in his headlights. Same sort of box, same place in the road. Argus got out again, and again looked for trouble. Again he poked it with his foot, and again it turned up empty. "Well, Barney," Argus said back in the truck, "maybe he's just trying to give me my exercise." And just about then a third box came into view. Argus wasn't going to keep playing Koenig's game, so this time he drove right up to the box and nudged it a little with the front bumper. "Ha! Empty! Oh, Koenig, this is the dumbest prank you ever pulled." And he stepped on the gas and pushed it out of the way. A little way further along, there was the fourth box, and Argus slowed down again and gently shoved it out of the way. By the time he reached the fifth box, Argus was feeling cocky, and he rammed it at full speed, sending it flying up over the hood and cab and off into the ditch. When he saw the sixth one coming, he put a little more pedal into it to get a really good hit. And as he got closer, he could see something written on the side in spray paint. He was only about 100 feet out when he could finally read it. "Merry Christmas, Winslow," it said. "Well, Merry Christmas to you too, Koenig." Argus rammed into one last cardboard box, which had inside it a wooden crate filled with approximately 300 pounds of rusty car parts. Well, Argus looked like the point man for the alien horde as he and his dog emerged from the cloud of radiator steam, illuminated by the one remaining headlight. He didn't even look back to assess the damages. He had his mind set on only one thing, and that was walking the last mile to town to choke the life out of one merry prankster with his bare, trembling hands. And off he marched toward the town lights that glowed like a halo in the light December snow. Just on the outskirts of town, he saw something change in the sky ahead and figured they must have lit the tree. Damn park, anyway. Argus boiled, and Barney drooped along by his side, with his ears back and his tail tucked in close. Then his ears picked up, and Argus noticed it. "What is it, boy?" Argus stopped dead in his tracks for fear the pranks weren't over for the evening. Then he heard it, too. Voices. And the closer he got, the clearer they came. He was listening now, and what he was hearing mixed badly with what he was feeling. The more he went on, the more the voices rang, and the sweeter it became. And with every step, a chunk of bitterness fell away like a cardboard box in the road. By the time he turned the corner and faced the tree, Argus had forgotten his reason for coming, as sure as his reason for being there laid before him. The tree sparkled with lights, garland, and strings of popcorn. It was skirted by 50 children holding candles, and all the townspeople stood all mixed together, blinking into the snow and singing in full fresh harmony. Argus and Barney walked across the street and stood with the crowd. He hadn't forgotten about his truck, and he knew he didn't own this park anymore. But he also knew there was going to be plenty of time for all that nonsense, and precious little of this. He'd deal with those matters as they came, but not tonight. Tonight, all of a sudden, he just felt like doing a little singing.